When it comes to commercial banking, relationships matter. At Associated Bank, we've got you. With a dedicated team of relationship managers helping you secure financing to best serve you today and tomorrow. Visit associatedbank.com/commercial. Member FDIC.
Let's begin front and center this morning with Thought Leader Thursday. Brett McKittrick is here. He's a senior vice president and senior HR consultant at Associated Benefits and Risk Consulting, which is part of Associated Bank. Brett, good morning. Welcome back to the opening bell.
Brett, good morning. Welcome back to the opening bell.
Thanks, Steve. Great to be here.
We're going to have a conversation today about wellness, workplace wellness, programs in the workplace that help make us healthier. And as we launch this discussion, we see some research in this area out over the last few days.
Yeah.
Talk to us a little bit about that.
Yeah, absolutely. So recently, the Journal of American Medical Association, JAMA, released in their April issue kind of a study, their findings from a study in which they conducted over a period of 18 months, focusing on one large employer all across the United States, as well as some other smaller employers, looking at potentially the effectiveness of that employer's wellness program. And so what I mean by that is, did it improve maybe productivity or lifestyle in the workplace? Did it have a positive impact on from a healthy living standpoint? And the study was done by looking at what that employer's wellness programs actually were, their participation rates, and a survey of people to see how it maybe changed or didn't change them.
And what were the findings, that it didn't have a big impact, that those programs didn't have a big impact?
That is correct, that they did not have a big impact, again, on from a standpoint of the employee's health and productivity, and looking at some detailed factors in that regard. Now, keep in mind, it was over the course of 18 months, which is a relatively short period of time. This is similar to the University of Illinois study that was done, and or the findings were released last year. And when we talked about wellness about a year ago on this program, we cited that as well, kind of showing in the short term, behavioral change is maybe next to impossible from a workplace standpoint.
Yeah, and you know, we humans, it's hard to change our behavior once we get in a routine, isn't it?
Absolutely, yeah. Absolutely. And I think really what this study shows, and now of course the opposite side, the wellness vendors and health plans are looking at it from standpoint of, yeah, but the study's too short, and there's all kinds of other reasons to have a wellness program. And many vendors will say, hey, we can't really measure our results. Which, you know, we should all be so lucky to be in an industry where results don't matter, right?
Right.
You know, that's why weather forecasters have a smile on their face.
Yeah.
And so in that regard, yes, it's true to really pinpoint and quantify the ROI of a wellness program. But I think if you step back and talk about any type of employer that has maybe a robust wellness initiative, you start with the why. Why are you doing this? Is it strictly to try to change behavior so that medical claims go down and everyone saves money on the health plan? If that's the only reason, then certainly in the short term, it's going to be impossible to see that return on investment. And perhaps over time in the long term, you'll maybe see it, but the needle will move very slowly and in small increments. I think another reason or other reasons why you may want to offer a wellness program is taking a more holistic view and looking at it from the standpoint of, well, what's it doing from a productivity and absenteeism or lack of presenteeism standpoint? What's it doing maybe from an ergonomic standpoint and a work injury standpoint if you have maybe a manufacturing facility where people are doing physical labor, et cetera?
Yeah, and it feels like, too, that we need to take these studies a little longer than 18 months. You know, speaking from a vantage point of somebody who's trying to change their health routine, it takes longer than 18 months to get in there and get it done. Maybe 2 years, 3 years, 4 years. Maybe these studies should just continue and be ongoing all the time.
Yeah, and you know, that's a great point, Steve. And perhaps they are, and perhaps there's studies out there. We just haven't seen many of the results of that. I want to tell you a quick story about a client of ours here at Associated that I had the pleasure of working with back when I was in private practice as well. They're around a 10,000 employee, privately owned company based here in the Midwest, but they have facilities all around the country. They were into wellness when it wasn't cool yet. You know, late 90s, they started into wellness. I worked with them on developing wellness programs in the mid-2000s that were really ahead of the game. Let's just take smoking cessation. They have had smoking cessation programs and smoking surcharges on their health plan, so you get a discount if you're not a tobacco user. And they've had these in place for a number of years. In 2015, so a few years ago, I was speaking with their CEO as he was retiring and just staying on as chairman of the board. And he's been a big champion of wellness. Now, keep in mind, this is a company that self-insures without stop loss. So they pay all of the medical claims of their employees.
Wow.
He said, over the course from 2002 through 2015, so to date at that point in time, their smoking rate in 2002 was 24% across the company, pretty high. Mm-hmm. In 2015, it was 26%. It had raised 2% despite all of their efforts. Now, they have a lot of facilities in higher smoking states in the South and that sort of thing. But nonetheless, and they have a high turnover, so it's hard to, you know, get someone to stick with it. But his point to me was, but we still do the wellness stuff because our biometric screenings, every few years, they save a heart attack. Every few years, they take someone that's pre-diabetic and help set them on a path by encouraging conversations with the doctor and alerting them about their own health by looking at some markers and scores on their screenings. And some on a path where they don't become diabetic. He says that's why we do it.
That's good to hear. If you're going to save one or two lives, it's worth it, right?
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely.
Well, I want to, Brett, talk a little bit about it. I know we've kind of jumped into this wellness conversation today, but let's take a couple steps back and remind people what kinds of wellness programs are in place through HR.
Sure, absolutely. So, you know, there's a wide spectrum here, or a broad spectrum, I should say. And so wellness can simply be, hey, you may encourage your employees to walk more at lunchtime, take walks at lunch, or to join a gym, or just do things maybe from an ergonomic standpoint, you know, stand on occasion, remember to take breaks if they have a sedentary job, that sort of thing. It could be all the way up to, as I mentioned with that organization, having actual medical exams and biometric screenings and health risk assessments, which are more or less questionnaires to ask people about their health.
And even if it's just as simple as teaching your workers to be a better healthcare consumer in their own life, aside from insurance, what kind of doctor to look for, what kind of health food to eat, that sort of thing.
Yeah, absolutely. And going to the right place, going to the right medical provider. Mm-hmm. Those are all things where an employer can say, hey, we're not experts in this. Well, that's why you bring in trusted partners in that area. And you work with maybe your health insurance carrier, for instance, or your provider network in your locality.
You mentioned the biometric markers, finding somebody who may be having a heart attack or diabetes. I look at a chart of the top conditions that are driving cost. And right there at the top, diabetes, heart disease, low back pain and neck pain, hypertension, hundreds of billions of dollars.
That's exactly right. And so around a third, it's around 33% of all healthcare resources and expenditures are based on chronic medical conditions, which on average only, you know, encapsulate maybe 5 to 10% of the average workforce. So a small number of people are driving up those healthcare claims and costs.
The money part of this, the getting a break on your health insurance, that's one part of this conversation. I know we've talked before in the past about companies who are actually paying their employees with maybe extra vacation time or a pay raise to get healthier. Does that work at all?
I think in a lot of ways it works even better, or it resonates more with that employee at the place where they're at. You know, an employee who maybe pays for their health insurance premium in a pre-tax fashion on their paycheck, like I don't know what I pay, to be honest with you. I don't have any idea what it is right now for my health insurance. And to say you get $50 less, well, yeah, that is money in your pocket. It maybe doesn't trigger a switch in that person's brain to say, wow, I'm going to participate in this behavior and this or this program to get that. But if they say they get an extra vacation day, wow, they only get 2 weeks a year and now they have 11 days instead of 10, that's a big deal.
Yeah, or have a wellness day where you can take the day off, but you have to do something healthy.
Exactly, yeah. Exactly. Great point.
One of the ways to implement this, and I know there are, you know, different companies have different things. You talked about one of them, but I like the idea of a company forming a wellness team to have, and I mentioned earlier, before we came on the air today about having, you know, if there was a wellness person in the building that came around to encourage us on a regular basis, is that the same idea of having a wellness team?
It is, absolutely. And, you know, iron sharpens iron, right? And so if you're an employee at an organization, you're going to look to your coworkers, and your coworkers have a big effect on you and how you think and how you act. And if you have a champion, whether it be one individual or a whole team, it's going to resonate, or that program or initiate will better resonate with that individual. We've talked before about the idea, is wellness something that's for employees or done to employees? You know, there could be a certain distrust factor in there where an employee sits there and says, wait a minute, you're telling me not to smoke and you're telling me how much to weigh? The heck with that. right? But if they see a team where there's some champions as their peers, or maybe even their management, right? So middle management really needs to buy into this as well to say, wow, they're taking time out of our busy day to tell us about this or to encourage us to go for a walk. It must be important.
Yeah, and I guess the bottom line here is, you know, when a company takes you on as an employee, they've already spent a lot of money recruiting you. They're spending a lot of money to have you in the building. You want to protect that investment from the moment you're hired till the moment you retire, potentially.
Absolutely. You know, assuming they are a good employee and you don't want to fire them, then absolutely. And, you know, that kind of cuts to going back to the why behind wellness. If it's strictly for an ROI purpose, you may not see it. You may be going into it for the wrong reasons. But if you're trying to build that culture where you want to be that employer of choice and for recruitment and retention reasons, then all the better.
These conversations inside HR are happening all the time, aren't they? And this is sort of an evolving thing. What advice would you give HR managers who might be listening about how to make sure they keep it evolving?
Sure. Well, no matter where you're at on that wellness spectrum, if you're just dipping your toes into it or you have a robust program, examine, again, the why behind it. Let's say you are a self-funded plan, and there might be other reasons why you want this kind of data associated, you know, from a biometric screening result. Maybe you want to target higher claims. Not that you know that Brett has all these problems. You know, it'd all be de-identified. But you can say, wow, we really have this high claim rate amongst our employee population in this particular area. Let's focus on education, awareness, health programs designed to curb that problem.
Well, I think the best thing I've heard from our conversation today is that despite maybe not seeing a lot of ROI, return on investment, companies are sticking with these plans regardless.
Absolutely, and they're becoming more and more popular, and really employees are expecting them.
Brett, how can people get a hold of you and have a conversation one-on-one?
Sure. So first name Brett, dot my last name McKittrick at associatedbrc.com.
Thanks for coming in. We'll see you next time.
All right. Thanks, Steve.
Brett McKittrick is Senior Vice President and Senior HR Consultant at Associated Benefits and Risk Consulting, part of Associated Bank. He's our thought leader today, and we do our thought leader conversation every Thursday. Remember, you can listen to our past conversations at WGN Radio on the Opening Bell page. Follow Associated Bank at Associated Biz on Twitter. And you can also head over to associatedbank.com/thoughtleadership to learn more about our thought leaders, see more conversations there, and hear them as well.